Hi everyone and welcome to Memcast. My name is Dr. Rachel Saville and I'm one of the respiratory registrars here in the East Midlands. We've had something a little bit different this week. We've had a request from Dr. Ruth Lithgow, thank you Ruth, to talk about the new 2023 PACES format. I hope that you and others listening find it really helpful, and if anyone has any other topic requests, we would love to hear them. You can always contact us on our Instagram page at mem.cast or Twitter at mem_cast, and we'll do our best to incorporate them into our Memcast recording schedule. So we'll get started. The PACES 2023 format is going to be introduced from the third diet of 2023, and applications have now closed for this diet in the UK. Exams with the new format will be held between late September and early December 2023. But if you're one of our listeners from Singapore, it won't be coming to you guys until 2024. There's still five stations and the total time of the exams remain the same, but the makeup of the circuit has changed from previous. So the 20-minute history taking station, which was called Station 2, has been removed. It was felt that history taking skills tested in isolation were just not representative of modern practice. And this has then been replaced by two 10-minute communication encounters. These communication encounters will not include a question and answer period with the examiner and will be marked on the examiner's observation of the candidate and patient encounter alone. The Station 4 Ethics and Communication Station has been removed. It was felt it was just too long, and in particular, the 5-minute interaction between examiner and candidate just added little value to the overall assessment. Although Station 5 was quite lifelike, it was very pressured to achieve all seven competencies in 10 minutes. I know that this was the station that I struggled with preparing for the most and got most stressed about because it was a high scoring station. The old Station 5 has been removed and replaced by two clinical consultations, so the new Station 2 and Station 5. And these will both be 20 minutes long, will assess all seven skills, meaning that the marks of the exam are more evenly spread throughout the exam. So there's 15 minutes to take a structured history, examine the patient, explain the likely diagnosis and management plan, and address any questions or concerns raised. Then there's 5 minutes for a question and answer time with the examiners. The other thing that's changed is the sequencing of the encounters throughout the carousel. So stations 1 and 4 now include both a physical examination and a communication encounter. This has been done to ensure that examiners at each isolated station see a broader range of skills from the candidates, so assessing across those seven skills I mentioned. We'll go into more detail about these later. This means that they're able to contribute more judgments, which improves the reliability of the exam. The MRCP website has some informative videos on there of the new encounters, which you can watch. Station 3 remains as a two-station clinical examination encounter. So we were asked specifically to talk about each of the stations and the best ways to prepare for this. So I'll go through each station in turn, first by explaining what will be expected in each of the stations and then talking about how best to prepare. So Station 1 is a communication station alongside a respiratory clinical examination. So before you entering the room, you'll receive written instructions for the communication part of the encounter and have up to 5 minutes to prepare. You can make notes on paper that's provided and take that into the room with you. So I personally use that time to write down my history structure, some initial thoughts on questions to ask, such as red flags for the potential station or perhaps some differentials that might have come to you. The encounter itself lasts 10 minutes where you'll interview a patient or surrogate. You may get a warning at 8 minutes, which is your sign to start wrapping up and making sure you've covered all the salient points in the history and addressed any ideas, concerns, and expectations. For the second part of that station, you'll be given really brief written instructions, and you should respond to those instructions by examining the patient appropriately. The clinical examination part should last 6 minutes, and then you're going to have 4 minutes to discuss with the examiner. A bell or a buzzer will sound at the end of that, and then you'll move on to the next station. Station 2 is the same format as Station 5. It's a 20-minute clinical consultation. So you could argue that Stations 2 and 5 are the ones that have changed the most. These are the new 20-minute consultations, which have replaced the brief clinical encounters and ethics stations. On arrival, you'll again be given written instructions, so the scenario for the station, and have up to 5 minutes to prepare. When the time begins, you'll be expected to interview the patient or surrogate and examine the patient within 15 minutes of those 20. If you finish early, you'll just both be sat in silence until the time is up, so use your time wisely. After this, you will have a 5 minute discussion with the examiner, and you should summarise and discuss the important features of the case, including any pertinent parts of the history, examination findings, differential diagnoses, investigation and management plans, plus addressing the patient's concerns. Station three involves a 10 minute cardiovascular and 10 minute neurological examination, prepared for as in the previous PACES format. Station four is similar to station one and contains a communication station followed by abdominal examination. And station five is similar to station two, it's a clinical encounter lasting 20 minutes. So I think the best way to explain how to prepare for the new PACES format is to look at how the PACES exam is marked. And then I think you can then work out how you can prepare to get the most marks in each of the skills assessed. So I must stress that with all the stations, you need to read the information carefully and address it when answering the questions. PACES is marked on 7 skills. So skill A, physical examination skill, which is assessed in all stations. You need to examine the patient in a systematic way. The majority of people fail PACES due to poor examination technique and therefore not picking up signs or just making them up. Preparing for this is under the candidate's control and does not need an expensive course. Routines should be slick and perfect. Our top tip is examine many, many patients. Practice, 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 and don't forget your timings. Use a timer when you practice and try to keep to timing even when practicing. Get into the rhythm of it. Have your technique critiqued by peers, senior registrars, or your clinical supervisor or consultants from different specialties. Getting feedback is really important and can help you tweak and refine your clinical examination skills. Some books you might want to look at are McLeod's Clinical Examination, which is well written and illustrated, and the Cases for PACES book is excellent as well. So skill B is identifying physical signs. Again, this is assessed across all stations where you're examining the patient. You need to identify clinical signs and, importantly, not report clinical signs that are not there. So you need to practice with the patients from lots of different specialties, with and without signs, and practice presenting this in a logical and clear manner. Skill C is clinical communication. So this is assessed in stations 1, 2, 4, and 5 when you're actually speaking to the patient. As in station 3, you're just examining the patient and you just might ask them pain in their shoulder before you check for a collapsing pulse, for example. You need to do a systematic and thorough history in stations 2 and 5. You need to identify concerns and agree a management plan. You need to explain relevant clinical information in an accurate, clear, and structured manner, making sure not to miss out any important information. So another reminder, read the scenario properly. Avoid jargon or unprofessional language. And again, ask for feedback from patients, colleagues, or seniors about your communication or your explanations. And you can practice using some of the sample scenarios on the MRCP UK website. Skill D is your differential diagnosis, again marked across all stations now. You must include the correct diagnosis in your list of differentials. You must list your most likely diagnosis first. And please don't just give a textbook list of differential diagnoses. You need to think about the scenario you've been given and give a tailored answer. Practice discussing differential diagnosis for all the patients that you see on your wards or on call and ask for feedback from your colleagues. You could also arrange for someone to observe your interaction when examining patients and they can then provide feedback on your differential. Skill E is clinical judgment, assessed across all stations. This is assessing your ability to come up with an appropriate management plan, including investigations and or treatment. You might want to review your revision notes for part 1 and part 2 to ensure that you've got the knowledge there to understand the management plans for various conditions. Skill F is managing patients' concerns. So this is stations 1, 2, 4, and 5. You need to identify the patient's main concern. For instance, are they worried they've got cancer? Did their relative die young of an MI? Are they worried about how their diagnosis could impact their job? You need to build rapport, explore their concerns in enough detail, and you should show active listening skills, check that the patients understood your explanations, and ask if they've got any questions. And last but by no means least, skill G is maintaining patient welfare at all stations. Ensuring the patient or surrogate is treated with dignity and sensitivity, and ensuring their comfort and safety. One thing to look out for when this skill is being assessed is how you could react when the adrenaline's pumping in your exam. You need to be careful and make sure you're kind and considerate and show warmth. Ensure you're listening to key statements that the patient or actors are giving you. It might need a pause and kindness is needed, for example. You know, if your patient says that their husband's died last week or they've just lost their job, take time to note that patient or surrogate situation and respond appropriately with a genuine response. For example, you could be offering them condolence or, you know, showing empathy. Rehearsing scenarios before the exam can help with this. But when candidates are nervous, they can sometimes appear clumsy or seem to rush patients on to the next thing. It's okay to take a minute. For candidates from different cultures or those with English as a second language, I'd recommend checking with colleagues, patients or staff on how they're perceived when they're communicating in difficult circumstances. Again, coming back to that feedback, that formative feedback is really helpful in you developing your style of communication. And us as medical professionals often use a lot of complicated language when we talk to each other. We need to make sure that the patients and all the surrogates understand what's being explained to them. You need to achieve a pass mark on each of the skills individually, as well as the overall pass mark to pass paces. So my general rules when preparing for paces, and by no means is this an exhaustive list, but number one, use a timer when practicing to ensure you've got enough time to complete the task and demonstrate all the skills being assessed. Number two, practice on real patients from many specialties. Number three, arrange to be observed and get feedback. And number four, if English isn't your first language, practice in English as much as possible, explaining conditions, management plans without the use of too much medical language. So I hope that's helpful for you. Thanks again for the request, Ruth. There's 25 videos on the MRCP website that help to show you what you might expect on the day. They explain changes to the circuit as well as some sample stations that are definitely worth a watch. And if you're more of a visual person and want to see the PACES carousel, that's on there too. So thanks for joining us today. Good luck in your exams, and we'll see you all again next week on Memcast.